Perek Dalet Mishnah Yud. Rab Meir Omer. Rab Meir says the following Mishnah. Before we get into actually what Rab Meir said, let us discuss a little bit about who Rab Meir was. Rab Meir was one of the greatest Talmidei Chachamim, one of the greatest of the Tanoim. We find Omer Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina, Goli V'yadu Lefnei Misha Omer V'hoya Olam. It's revealed and known in front of Hashem, who said the world should come into existence, She'ein B'doyrei Shal Rab Meir K'moisei. There was no one as great as Rab Meir in his generation, as far as his brilliance in Torah. U'mipnei Ma Loi Kavu Halacha K'moisei. So if he was so great in learning, why is the halacha not like Rab Meir? If Rab Meir has an argument with somebody else, the other person wins the argument. The halacha should be like Rab Meir if he was so great. The answer is shelo yochlu chaverov lamoid al soif daitai. Rab Meir was so great that his colleagues could not understand his depths, the depth of his thinking. Shehu oimer al tamei tor umar aloi ponim. He would say something that everyone thought was not kosher, was not clean, was tameh. He would say, no, it's tohar, it's pure. And he would show, he would give explanation for his opinion. And the rabbis couldn't refute his explanation. And the opposite, val tor tameh, what everybody else thought was permitted, he would say, no, it's tameh, umar aloi ponim. And he would show reasons for that as well. So they couldn't understand the depths, the profundity of Rab Meir's thinking, and therefore they had to rely on the majority, which was not like Rab Meir. They had to rely on their own thinking. That's why the halacha is not like him. But in reality, there was no one in the generation of Rab Meir that was great as him. Chazal also tell us, Loi Rab Meir Shemoy, his real name was not Rab Meir. Ella Rab Nuroi Shemoy, his name was Nuhuroi. V'lama Nikra Shemoy Rab Meir. So why was he called Rab Meir if his real name was Rab Nuroi? This we find in a Gemara in Erev and Dafyut Gimel Amid Beis. Shehu Meir Einei Chachamim Ba'alocha. He would lighten up the eyes of the Chachamim in Halacha. So therefore it comes out Rab Meir was really like a nickname of Rab Nuroi. His real name was Rab Nuroi. Now this itself leads us to a very fascinating Rav Velvel Brisker, the Brisker Rav Zitzal. He says, if Rab Meir and Rab Nuroi are really the same person, so we have a tremendous contradiction. Why? Because Rab Meir tells us that Chayiv Adam Lelamed Espinoi Umnes Kalav Nekiya. A parent, a father, has an obligation to teach his child a clean and easy profession that he'll be able to make a livelihood, he'll be able to make Parnassa. That's what Rab Meir said. Rab Nuroi says, Maniach ani kol umne sheba'olam ve'eni melamed es b'ni el Torah. I'm going to leave over all the jobs and employment opportunities, professions in the world. I'm only going to teach my son Torah. So now, if you tell me Rab Meir and Rab Nuroi are two different people, okay, each one says their opinion. But if you tell me Rab Meir and Rab Nuroi are the same person, his real name was Rab Nuroi. He was given a nickname, Rab Meir, because he enlightened the rabbis with his deep Torah. So he seems to be saying a contradiction. On the one hand, he says you have to teach your son a clean profession. An accountant, a lawyer, a doctor, you have to have a profession. And on the other hand, Rab Nuroi says, I'm only going to teach him Torah. Seems to be a contradiction. So Rav Velvel Brisker said there's no contradiction. Why? Really, there were two approaches in Chazal about this question, which is very relevant, Bizman Hazeh, should a parent teach their child a profession, or should they sit and kolel and learn all day? Rav Shimon bar Yochai, who we know was in a cave with his son, he learned nonstop for the Chazal say for I believe it was 12, 13 years. Chazal tells us in Gemara Masechta Shabbos that he was up to his neck in the sand. He just put himself there, and he has subsisted on water and boxers, and that's how they learned with such intensity for so many years. So Reb Shimon ben Yochai's approach was that a person has to learn all day. Rabbi Yishmael, I believe it was, disagreed and said no. He said, as we say in Pirkei Avos, Yofet Talmud Torah im derech eretz. You have to have derech eretz. You have to have a profession. So Chazal end off and say, Harbe asuk Reb Shimon bar Yochai v'loy also b'yadam. Many people try to learn all day, and they were not successful. And most people, Chazal tell us, have to go with the approach, the other approach, Torah with derech eretz, that you have to have a profession. You have to learn. You have to be kaveh itmo Torah, but you have to have a profession as well. So now, says the Brisker Rav, Rav Elva Brisker, we understand. Really, Rav Meir and Rav Neroy are the same person. Rav Meir said, a person has to teach his child Torah. Has to teach his child a umnes kalav and akia, a light and clean profession. But Rav Neroy, who is Rav Meir, said, my son, I'm not talking about in general for the public. Maniach ani as kol umnes shiva oilam ve'eini melamed as b'ni ela Torah. My son, who I know is a very astute young Talmud Chacham, my son, I know he could do it. He could be successful. So the majority of people have to go earn a profession. But the minority, those who are capable to sit and learn a whole day, which is very difficult, those who are capable, they should pursue just learning. And we need Dayanim, we need the Poskim, we need Rabbanim, we need Rosh Yeshivas. They should train in just in learning. And the Rav Elva Brisker brings a famous Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchah Shmita V'Yovel, Perek Yud Gimel, Halacha Yud Gimel, states, we know that Shevet Levi did the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. What, they didn't have a Parnasa. Their job was to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. How did they subsist on what? The answer is, Klal Yisrael gave them matnas kohuna, truma, and meiser to the Levi, truma to the Kohen. They got gifts from the Klal. The Klal supported them, and they were able to do the service in the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Rambam, V'loy Shevet Levi Bilvad. This is not only Shevet Levi. Ela kol ish v'ish. Mikol boy ha'olam, every individual person from all over, asher nadva ruchay oisai, that his heart donated, vehavinu madoy lahibodel lamud lefnei Hashem, his mind and his heart decided, I'm gonna separate myself from regular people, and what am I gonna dedicate my life to? Lamud lefnei Hashem. To stand in front of Hashem, l'shor soy u'la'avdoy, to serve Hashem, l'deira es Hashem, to know Hashem, v'holach yashur k'maysh asa l'kim, he's going to go straight like Hashem made him, u'porak mi'at savoroy o'ylach eshboynes harabim, asher bikshu b'nei adam, and he's going to take off his mind all the thinking that most people think about, harei zen eskadesh kodesh kadoshim. He becomes the Holy of Holies. V'yi Hashem chelkoi v'nachlosoi lo'olam lo'olmi olamim. What is his portion? His portion is Hashem. V'yiskoloi bo'olam hazeh dover amaspik lo'i k'moish ziko l'kaham l'vim. Hashem will give him what he needs to get. He's not going to be a rich man, but he'll have what he needs to get through in this world. That's what David HaMelech said in Tehillim, Hashem minas chalki v'koisi ata toimech garoli. David Amel said, my portion, that's Hashem. So I once said that I think if you look in the words of the Rambam, you see what Rav Elva Brisker is saying. Not Shevet Levi alone, ela kol ish v'ish, every single individual. But how is it measured? It's not measured by a rule. This is not a rule. Most people can't do this. And most people, the Gemara says, the people who tried to do what Rav Shimon ben Yochai did, to learn all day and not have a parnasa, most were not successful. So most people have to have a parnasa. But kol ish v'ish, on an individual level, if you're a son of Rav Nuroi, you're a great Talmud scholar, you're a great tzaddik, you're a Yorei Shemayim, you're able to do it, then you could be like Shevet Levi, that Hashem will take care of you. He'll give you what you need to get through this world. But most people can't do it. Anyway, this is how Rav Elva Brisker answers this apparent contradiction, which he says is not a contradiction. So going on with who Rav Meir was, Rav Meir was the Talmud Muvik. His Rebbe Muvik was Rav Akiva. And also he had one other interesting Rebbe. The other interesting Rebbe's name was Elisha ben Avua. Elisha ben Avua, unfortunately, went off the derech. And he became what Chazal referred to him as Acher, the other one, Acher. And Chazal are wondering, how could Rav Meir continue to learn from him even after he became Acher? And Chazal wonder, how could Rav Meir continue to learn from someone who went off the derech? He was Mechal Shabbos, Himamish Lot. It says, if you remember, we learned in the Mishnayos before, there were four people who went into the Pardes. And each one was affected in a different way, except Rav Akiva. Rav Akiva came out whole. But everyone became crazy, one died, and Elisha ben Avua became an apikoros. He went off the derech. But yet he had a tremendous amount of Torah knowledge, and Rav Meir kept learning from him. How could he do it? So Chazal say that Rav Meir rimoin matzah, he found a pomegranate, toichoy ochal, he ate the inside, the kliposoy zarak, he threw away the shell. In other words, we can't do such a thing. We can't go and learn from someone who doesn't believe. But Rav Meir was so great that he was able just to learn the good that Elisha ben Avuya had, and the klippa, the shell that was no good, that he was able to throw away. Now, something very outstanding about Rav Meir is that Stam Mishnah, if you open up any Mishnayos and it doesn't say a name of who said that halacha in the Mishnah, Stam Mishnah Rav Meir. Aliba de Rav Akiva. Rav Akiva was called like the father, just like Moshe Rabbeinu is the father of Torah Shebiksav, Rav Akiva was the father of Torah Shebaal Peh. And his main Talmud that he gave over the Torah Shebaal Peh to was Rav Meir. And when Rebbe wrote the Mishnah, he based it on the teachings of Rav Meir. And that's why if it was Stam Mishnah, you have a Mishnah without a name, who is that? That is Rav Meir, who received the Torah from his great Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva. And since we spoke so much about Rav Meir concerning learning Torah, it's very appropriate that in the Mishnah that Rav Meir is saying here in Pirkei Avos, he speaks about Torah. Rav Meir Oimer, Hevi Memayet Be'esik. A few more things before I go on. In terms of who Rav Meir was, he had a famous wife. Her name was Bruria. Unfortunately, they lost two children. The Gemara tells us how Bruria gave the news, the sad news to Rav Meir, and she said that somebody loaned somebody else he gave him a pekodon. He gave him something to watch, and then he said, I want it back. He said, that's what Hashem did. He gave us these two children, and that now he wants the pekodin, he wants it back. So she was a Breuria. It says in the Gemara she had a machlokus with the Tanoim, and the halacha was like Breuria. She was so great, the halacha was like Breuria against the other Talmidei Chachamim. Rabbi Wein brings down an interesting thing that for various reasons, Rabbi Meir had to leave Eretz Yisrael, and he died in what today is present-day Turkey. And he left over in his savoir, in his will, he left over that he should be buried right next to the Mediterranean Sea. Why? That the water of the Mediterranean, the same water that goes to Eretz Yisrael, should go right next to his kever as well. He should have some connection with Eretz Yisrael, which he had to leave. So a very interesting fact about Rav Meir. Says Rav Meir, "Havi memayit be'esik v'asoik b'tayra." Lessen your daily work and toil in Torah. So he does it, again, even here in this Mishnah, we see, it could be again, Rav Meir, the Rav Meir who said to, you have to have a parnasa, right? Rav Neroi was the one who said, I'm going to teach my son only Torah. Rav Meir said, teach parnasa also. So here Rav Meir doesn't say, only learn. He says, having memayet be'esik. If you have to do two things every day. One is to learn Torah, and one is to do a parnasa. So you have to do the parnasa, but make it less. Rabbi Wein brings down a famous story of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Somebody came to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, and he said, I only have 10 minutes a day to learn. What should I learn? Should I learn Gemara, Halacha, Navi, Chumash, Mishnah Berurah? What should I learn? So he says, shall I learn Musser? He said, learn Musser. Because if you learn Musser for 10 minutes, you'll discover that you have more time to learn other things. So that's the idea over here. Try to cut down on your other things that make you busy, and asok b'Torah. You should make Torah into a business. You'll notice that he uses the word here, asok. We're going to speak about this at the end of the Mishnah. Asok means like asik is a business. Make a business with Torah. Put your main part of the day, you should put in learning Torah. As it says, we have it elsewhere in Pirkei Avos, asay Torascha kvar u'malachtecha arai. Your Torah should be the main thing, and your malacha should be like temporary. It's possible you'll spend even more time in your work than you learn. But what is your day center around? What's the main part of your day? The main part of your day should be those hours that you're able to, as the expression is, your kaveya itim l'tayra. You set aside certain time every day to learn. That should be the focal point of your entire day. The heve shval ruach b'fnei kol adam. You should be humble in front of everybody. Rabbi Wein wants to say, perhaps that's why Rabbi Meir felt that he could learn even from Elisha ben Avuya. Even from his Rebbe, who went off to Derech, he still humbled himself and he learned. Again, it's not for every person this approach, but Rabbi Meir, who was so great, he was able to throw away the klippa of Elisha ben Avuya. But again, he humbled himself even in front of Elisha ben Avuya. And perhaps, of course, Rabbi Meir, as the Gemara tells us, he wanted to bring his Rebbe back. He wanted his Rebbe should do tshuva. Chazor bach. He hoped that his Rebbe would do tshuva. Unfortunately, he did not. The Rabbeinu Yoina says that this mission is speaking about Torah. Let's say you achieve greatness in learning, don't become a balgaiva. Even if you learn a lot, have yishval ruach b'nei kol adam, be humble. And certainly, if you're, don't be a balgaiva about other things, how rich you are, how smart you are, how strong you are, for sure, if learning you shouldn't be a balgaiva about, so certainly any other physical thing that Hashem gave you. Then the Mishnah continues, v'im bataltu min ha-toyra, yeshecha b'telem harbe kenegdecha. If you don't treasure the time that you have for learning. If you let it, if you let anything come along and waste your time, then what Hashem does is, you want to waste time? I'll give you plenty to waste time. I got a lot of things. So the Avister of Nassim brings down that Hashem, that it says as follows, Kol Ashaiket al Divrei Torah, Moishim Loi Shakdonim Kenegdoi. If you are diligent in learning, Hashem will give many opportunities to be diligent. But Kol Aboitel Midivrei Torah, if you waste time from learning, Moishim Loi Batlonim Kenegdoi, Hashem will send many things to waste your time. What are those things? Kigon, Ari, a lion, Ze'ev, a wolf, Nemer, Bartolus, Nachash, Hagaisos, Valistoyim, armies, and robbers, and snakes, and leopards, all kinds of things. They'll surround a person and make him stop learning. But the Mishnah concludes, Ve'im, Amalta Batayra, if you work diligently in Tayra, Yesh Loi, Socher Harbe Litenlach. He, who's he? He, Hashem, has a lot of schar to give you. So the Rabbeinu Yoina says, by wasting your time, Hashem sends messengers. By giving the schar, he himself personally, he doesn't send any messengers, he doesn't send any angels to give you the reward. He himself personally will give you the reward. Now, in the beginning of the Mishnah, we used the word asok b'Torah. Torah should be a business. At the end of the Mishnah, we're using the word ve'im amalta b'Torah. You worked hard, diligently, in learning. You get a lot of schar from Hashem. So I once heard it when I was in Telzi Yeshiva. I had the schus to hear from Rav Gifter, Rav Mordechai Gifter Zitzal. This was Hanukkah time. So he gave what was called a shmuz in Telz, it's called a shir das. And the title of the shir das was the words from Hanukkah, Zaydim biyad oske sorasecha. So he explained what Zaydim are, people who go against the Torah. And they were given in the hands of those who are osek b'Torah. So he said, what does it mean to be osek b'Torah? So he said, I was just now in Mexico, and he was collecting for funds for the Telz Yeshiva. So he went to a certain rich man, and so he asked for an appointment. So they said, well, he comes home like 12, 1 in the morning, so you can't see him at home. Okay, I'll go to the business. So when should I come to the business? So the businessman said, okay, be in my office 6 a.m. So he, you know, 6 a.m., he goes to the office, and this businessman already is busy with a long-distance phone call from Paris, a telegraph from London. They didn't have emails in those days, right? And Rav Gifter couldn't believe what he was seeing. This man was working from 6 a.m. till 12 at night. So he asked him, you work so hard. He was a millionaire, this person. He said, you don't even have benefit. You can't even enjoy your home. You're away from home from early in the morning to late at night. So the man told him, when you go into business, you don't say, I'm going to make a million and then I'm retiring. We know Yesh Loi Mana writes a Messiah. Yesh Loi Million writes a 2 million. Right? That's how business works. A business is from early in the morning to late at night. Where Gifter said, then that experience made him realize what is called a business. And the Chafetz Chaim says that that's how we're supposed to approach learning Torah and doing mitzvahs. It has to be a business. It has to be an asek. It has to be ima malta batar. You have to work hard like these people who are millionaires, but they want their business to grow even more and more. When we are busy with Torah, we have to be busy like a business from early in the morning to late at night. If we do that, that's a melus, that's working hard, then Hashem himself will give us the reward. Mishnah Yud Aleph, Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Omer. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov says, Ho osa mitzvah achas, a person who does one mitzvah, konoloi praklet echot, he gets one defense attorney, one advocate for him. The oiver avera achas, and someone who transgresses on one avera, one sin, koina loy kateger echad, he gets for himself one prosecutor. In other words, when a person does a mitzvah and avera, they shouldn't just think, they shouldn't make light of it, that, oh, I'm doing a mitzvah, I'm doing a avera. No, if you think of it, every time you do a mitzvah, you're creating, imagine like you're creating a person. You have a team of defense attorneys. When we will all have to face din v'cheshbon, or we have to face now Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur coming up. We have a yearly din v'cheshbon, and after 120 years, a person has to face a din v'cheshbon for his entire life. So don't just look at a mitzvah and an avera. I did a mitzvah, I did an avera. No, you created a defense attorney, an advocate. Think of it like a person. You made a person, you're going to have 1,000 people advocating for you, 10,000 people, 100,000. And on the opposite, you're going to have against you. When you do an avera, you create, think in your mind as if you're creating a prosecutor against you. So when you look at it in that way, the prosecutor is going to snipe at you and going to try to convict you. If you look at both a mitzvah and an avera, that you're creating a advocate and a prosecutor, it will make you more, it'll impress on you more and more how to do the right thing and not, chas v'shalom, create kategers. Now, he says one more thing. Tshuva, umaisim tovim, kisris b'fnei haparanias. If a person did an avera and he's embarrassed to do, the Yalka tells us this, he's embarrassed to do tshuva. So what should he do? He should do tshuva and he should do a good act. And not that the good act wipes out the bad act. Well, actually, the Gemara tells us in Yuma that that gdoila tshuva shes doinais nasis like kizachis. If a person does the highest form of tshuva, which is tshuva me'ava, there's two types of tshuva. Tshuva me'ira, when you fear Hashem, you're afraid of a punishment. And then there's tshuva me'ava, you do it out of a love for Hashem, you want to become better. Then every aveira you did turns into a schus. But the Yalka tells us, how do you do it? What's the way to do it? So the Yalkut says like this: Call me sheyesh biyarei avera umizbayesh lasis tshuva. You're embarrassed to do tshuva, so it gives you a way to do tshuva. Yachlifa b'maisei atoiv, exchange it with a good deed. V'yase tshuva v'yiskabel, and do tshuva and it'll be accepted. In other words, if you come to Hashem only with the bad deed, You feel bad about yourself. You don't feel good about yourself. I have this bad deed, and I want to do tshuva. But if you'll do a good deed, now you feel better about yourself. You did something good. So then, with the tshuva together, that will cancel out the bad deed. It'll give you the momentum, to the strength to do tshuva, because you did a good deed also, and that will wipe out the bad one. Moshal la'adam. He has a bunch of bad coins, and in those days the coin was worth, if it got eroded, if the silver, let's say, got eroded, it was worth less. If it was more silver, it was worth more. So he has a bunch of bad coins. He should go to a banker. He should pay him extra. He has, let's say, 100 bad coins. So he should give him, let's say, 105 coins, and for the 105, he'll get 100 good coins. V'yachlif from bezuzim toivim. Af, kol mi sheyesh biyari maisim ro'im, yase tshuva u'maisim toivim. This is the way that a person can rehabilitate themselves. If they do a good act and they do tshuva, so that's like paying the banker extra. That's the extra. You're not only doing tshuva, but you're doing a good deed also, plus the tshuva. That's together the extra, and you get back from your aveiros becomes zochias, Each aveira that you did, and you do tshuva and you do a good act, it becomes the chuyas. The Rabbeinu Yonah says the biggest aveira, the worst aveira that a person can do is chilul Hashem. How do you, so you could do tshuva on the chilul Hashem, but the Rabbeinu Yonah says if you do a kiddush Hashem, so that will wipe out the chilul Hashem. So this is the same idea. If you tshuva umaisim toivim, that's a shield kisris b'fnei apronis in front of the pronis. The next part of the Mishnah is not from Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov who started the Mishnah, but it's from somebody else. This is Rabbi Yochanan at Sandler. He also was, like Rabbi Meir, he was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, and he was called a Sandler. Simple is that he had a job. His job was he was a shoemaker. A shoemaker is a Sandler. Others say he was from Alexandria of Mitzrayim. So the word Hasandler comes from Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim. He was from Alexandria. Okay, what does he say? Kol Knesia Shehi L'Shem Shemayim Seifel Iskayim. Every gathering that is for the sake of heaven will have a kiyum. It will last. What does it mean that it's for the sake of heaven? There's a lot of conventions. People get together. So what are you getting together for? For the purpose, a good purpose, or are you getting together for your agenda? A lot of people say they go to the conference, they have their own agenda, and they want to win over the other person. That's the other part. She'ein l'shem shemayim, ein seifel l'skayim. If it's not for the sake of heaven, if it's for you want to win your agenda over the other person, the end will be that the whole convention will become irrelevant. The worst thing that can happen to a person in his lifetime is that he or she becomes irrelevant. They're not contributing to anything. And so a kinesia, a gathering that is not for the sake of heaven, it's for your personal agenda, it's not to seek the truth, ein seifel l'skayim, it'll become irrelevant. And the Avos Rav Nosson gives an example. A kinesia l'shem shemayim was the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. These were 120 great Talmidei Chacham who came together. We had them at the beginning of Pirkei Avos. The Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, Haimam Rishloish Advarim. They, right? So they made things that last. Asusi Yoglot Torah, Amidu Talmidei Harbe, and what else did they say? They said, Vavi Mesunim Badin. They made takanas that lasted forever because they were kinesia l'shem shemayim. What's a kinesia that was not l'shem shemayim? That was the Anshei Dor HaFloga. They also got together, but what was the end of the Dor HaFloga? The whole thing got wiped out because their purpose was not l'shem shemayim. The opposite. The Anshei Dor HaFloga was to build a migdol to go against Hashem. So Memela, the end was it had no permanent result.